Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. We have a scandal of biblical proportions in Terre Haute. Recently, an Assembly of God congregation decided to erect a large cross on the frontage road of their building. This white metal cross is 50 feet high and has Jesus Saves painted in red letters. It has a flashing red light on the top, presumably so that low-flying aircraft don't crash into it. It has caused a great stir in the neighborhood because none of the neighbors were notified of its erection until it was done. And to conform with zoning ordinances, this cross is officially considered an outbuilding. That's how it got through the zoning process, secretly, I might add. A business just a couple of hundred feet to the south has never been permitted to put up a lighted sign because it is against the ordinance. If only this owner had been so clever as to call it an outbuilding. He's angry. But even this is not the scandal. The pastor of this congregation calls this 50-foot cross, quote, in-your-face evangelism, end quote. Those who have objected to its erection have been called bad Christians by the members of this church. One neighbor lady said of it, "That cross doesn't make me think of Jesus. It makes me think of a carnival." Instead of drawing people to Christ, this cross has become more of a lightning rod in our community, dividing people rather than drawing them to the one on the real cross. "This is no sissy church," the pastor said in a rally before the congregation and to which all the local media had been invited. "If others don't agree with the erection of this cross," he said, "they fall into that category." I have half a notion to send a letter to the editor of the paper, informing our community that from my perspective, that congregation has the sissy cross, because the cross on our steeple towers 135 feet above the ground. Not a sissy 50 feet. I think that this pastor might have cross envy. Really, what this congregation did is more like a poke in the eye. The congregation even changed its name from First Assembly of God to Cross Tabernacle. But there's no corpus, no Christ, just an empty cross. And that's not a Christian message, surprising as that might seem. Without Christ on the cross, you have just another cross, one of the uncounted thousands that the Romans used for executions. The cross should have a corpus. An empty cross is an empty cross is an empty cross. It can mean anything you want it to mean, from a burial marker in a cemetery to a memorial lying along the highway or the interstate. With a corpus on it, however, it can refer only to Jesus Christ. It's a scandal, really. The cross without the body of Jesus removes the scandal. Luther said of our Old Testament reading, "In this serpent, God thus prefigured his own son for the people of Israel. He was to assume the form of an accursed and damned man, yes, of a serpent, and become the savior of the world. The world seeks to be saved by good works. But it pleased God to help mankind in this way. The world would regard his son as a vile worm, but he would nevertheless save all who believe in him. Jesus is not merely the snake on the pole, he is the worm on the cross. And the scandal is precisely this. But the world doesn't see it. At least I think many in our Western world don't see it, and perhaps many within the Christian community. Perhaps Islam sees it better in that it denies that the Son of God, this Christ, died on the cross because Christ cannot die if he is God, and a prophet cannot fail in his mission. This kind of death certainly looks like a failure. Taking the corpus off the cross softens the blow, pulls the punch, weakens the proclamation of the gospel. No Christ on the cross equals no scandal and no salvation. No Christ on the cross denies the real presence. An empty cross is just a symbol, the doctrine of the real absence. God rescued Israel by making them look at this hideous snake on a pole. It wasn't the pole that was important, but the snake on the pole. The serpent prefigured Christ for the people of Israel. Jesus would assume the form of an accursed and damned man, a human being like you and me, yes, of a serpent, says Luther, and become our Savior. Christ became the cause of this world's salvation. His person, his flesh is necessary, and portraying him on the cross is likewise necessary because it is only through faith in him that we are saved. God punished Christ for our sins, hanging him on the cross instead of us. This is a much worse image than a snake on a pole. The world has been scandalized ever since God's Son hung on the cross. And so the Apostle Paul was determined not to know anything among us except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ on the cross, not an empty cross. I wonder how the world would react if we began putting the crucified Christ, the corpus, on all of our outdoor crosses. The scandal would reach a fever pitch. The politically correct liberals would give an R rating to such a scene and would even push for legislation to remove them from the view of young children. How did God show his love to the world? Very simply, by putting his only begotten Son on the cross for our sins. Now, I need to say something that's irritated me for a long time, and I'm sure you'll permit me to vent. You can't stop me. And it's the cutesy tactic of recasting the Word of God here. For God so loved Jim that he gave Jim his only son, that if Jim believes in him, Jim should not perish, but Jim have eternal life. The word used by the evangelist here is ton kosmon, the cosmos. Not Jim, not Susie. Certainly there's something personal about it, but there's also something important in that term, something that surely offends the Calvinists of the world, that Christ's death redeems the whole world, not merely the elect. God puts Christ on the cross for the whole world, for everybody, including his enemies. And yes, as the Apostle Paul says, yes, that Christ died for the ungodly, for those who were not seeking him. We should not toy with God's word, trying to improve the words that God the Holy Spirit has given I don't think we can tell him his business. The cross with a corpus on it is the purest gospel. God makes us look at Christ on the cross. It's like coming to an auto accident. We cannot help but look at it. We've witnessed the Muslim cartoon riots recently. They violently protest that no images of their so-called prophet may be made. They riot and they kill to make their point. The Muslim cleric calling for the death of the Afghan Christian convert Abdul Rahman, and we give thanks that he appears to have escaped the death penalty. This Muslim cleric said, "Rejecting Islam is rejecting God. We will not allow God to be humiliated. This man must die." But what does the true God do? He hoists his only begotten son, his beloved son, up on this scandalous instrument of death and compels the world to look. He tells the whole world to look at his son. And the person who believes that this Christ on the cross bears all his sins, he is the one who is not condemned. The person who believes that this Christ on the cross is his Savior has eternal life. The Jews were commanded to look at the serpent, not to believe on it. However, God commands us here to believe on this one, this Christ who hangs on the cross. One notices also that there is no room for works in this. Looking and believing are actions done at the command of God. God is the one who is acting for dying sinners. Christ is the object of saving faith. God puts his son on the cross, and then he tells us to look at what he has done, telling us, inviting us to believe in him. For all of Rome's sins, the crucifix is still prominent. Just this past week, the report came that the Pope gave his new cardinals rings that had a crucifix on them. Go into any Bavarian home or restaurant, and you are likely to find a crucifix, usually a very beautiful one, hanging in the corner, angled down at the room so that everybody in the room can see it. It used to be Roman Catholic practice to hold a crucifix before the eyes of the dying person. Maybe all those Roman Catholics we worried about holding on to good works to save them ended up being saved by looking at Christ on the cross. If a picture is worth a thousand words, then surely the sermon of the crucifix is worth more than all the homilies that they ever heard at Mass. An empty cross is an empty cross, but the cross with the body of Jesus on it proclaims salvation. God on a cross. What a scandal. But boldly we Lutherans proclaim with the Apostle Paul, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. This cross with Jesus on it is the real scandal because it's all about Jesus. The world regards God's Son hanging on the cross as a vile worm, says Luther. But he nevertheless saves all. Indeed, the whole world, he saves all who believe in him. And this same Christ has promised to be present in his flesh when his word is proclaimed and when his sacrament is rightly administered. Here in the divine service, we have Christ crucified come to forgive us and grant us eternal life. He is the true light shining amid the darkness of this world. Here is the love of God for sinners. Here is life and salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.